Sushushamananam Arhasyanganuvarnitam Yasyabhataro Bhutanam Kshemaya cha Bhavaya cha. O Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The conditions for hearing the transcendental message of the Absolute Truth are set forth herein. The first condition is that the audience must be very sincere and eager to hear, and the speaker must be in the line of disciplic succession from the recognized Acharya. The transcendental message of the Absolute is not understandable by those who are materially absorbed. Under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one becomes gradually purified. Therefore, one must be in the chain of disciplic succession and learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. In the case of Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimasharanya, all these conditions are fulfilled because Srila Suta Goswami is in the line of Srila Vyasadeva, and the sages of Naimasharanya are all sincere souls who are anxious to learn the truth. Thus, the transcendental topics of Lord Sri Krishna's superhuman activities, his incarnation, his birth, appearance or disappearance, his forms, his names, and so on, are all easily understandable because all requirements are fulfilled. Such discourses help all men on the path of spiritual realization. O Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. The sages of Naimasharanya were performing this great yajna with the intention of giving benefit to all souls. In this age of Kali Yuga, people are so unfortunate, so spiritually misguided, so much under the control of their mind and their senses. Great personalities feel compassion for the lamentable condition of society and are always trying to devise ways and means of relieving people from the sufferings of illusion. Here these great sages are performing a great sacrifice. But the greatest sacrifice, which gives the greatest benefit to oneself and which purifies the whole creation like none other, is hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suta Goswami was considered by them to be senior simply because he had personally learned the Bhagavad philosophy from Shukadev Goswami. He was in the proper chain of disciplic succession. His qualification is not mentioned that he had great powers, that he was a very exciting orator. It is herein explained that his qualification was that he submissively heard from the previous great devotees of the Lord, and he submissively, on their behalf, is willing to repeat that message. And because of his humble submission to the great souls, he was given realization, depth of understanding of everything that he spoke. Therefore, it is explained here that these great sages of Naimasharanya, who were themselves very advanced in spiritual life, in learning, in austerity, they were eager to learn about the personality of Godhead. And this is one of the qualifications of making spiritual advancement, is we become more and more eager to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Unfortunately, sometimes we think that I have already heard the pastimes of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. I have already heard the stories of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. I've already heard so many times the philosophy of Gita. I've already chanted so many times the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And therefore, I already know these things. I'm not so excited about taking part in such gatherings where the same topics are being discussed. The glorification of the Lord. But actually, the more we hear, the more we should be eager to hear. Because Krishna is present in the sound vibration of each one of his pastimes. How can we become tired of Krishna? If we're tired of hearing the same pastime again and again, or tired of hearing the same words of Krishna from the Gita again and again, that means we're actually not experiencing Krishna. Because Krishna is Navayovanam. He's ever youthful. He's ever fresh. And every aspect of him, however he manifests or reveals himself, is ever new and ever fresh. Therefore, this eagerness is a sign of spiritual progress. And not only that, but it is the means of making spiritual progress. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would tell us that in Krishna consciousness, the ends are the means. What is the means of becoming Krishna conscious? To become eager to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And even if you do not feel eager, you act eager in such a way that gradually Krishna sees that you want that feeling. At the beginning, being eager may be an austerity. You run to see the deities for Mangalarti. You run, even if you don't feel like it, you do it because you want to express an eagerness. You can't, you're attentive to chant your rounds properly, nicely, the holy names of Krishna. Eagerly run to every opportunity you can to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita philosophy. By that process, first deserve and desire, Krishna will reward us with that eagerness. So that the eagerness, the anticipation and enthusiasm to hear and chant is the way of making spiritual advancement. And what is the result of such activities? We become more and more eager to hear and chant. We never outgrow that. For all of eternity. Some of the impersonal philosophers, they also hear and chant the glories of the Lord. But their idea is it is a means by which we can attain a certain platform of inactivity where there's no longer any need. You take the medicine, but as soon as the disease is cured of illusion or maya, there's no need for medicine. You throw it away. There's no need for worshiping the form of the Lord, hearing or chanting the glories or names of the Lord. But this is an incorrect understanding. This is not based on the principle of love. This is based on the principle of, as Prahlad Maharaj said, mercantile bargaining. Krishna, I'll give you so much, you give me in return, and then the deal is finished. In business, sometimes we do like that. But in love, it is our hope that forever we glorify Krishna. Forever we increase our desire to chant his names, to chant his glories, to hear his words, to serve his lotus feet, to serve the lotus feet of his devotees. These are called the sages of Naimasharanya. That means they were already very, very, very advanced transcendentalists. Very compassionate, very austere, very learned, and they were eager to hear from one who had heard from the previous acharyas in disciplic succession. The principle of disciplic succession is of great importance, as delineated here in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita. To understand the life and the teachings of the previous acharyas not only reveals all philosophical truths, because the lives of the great souls are embodiments of all the essential philosophical truths. But it also gives us great faith. Great faith in the reality of Krishna consciousness in our own lives. Today, I would like to discuss for a few minutes one such great acharya in our disciplic succession who was so instrumental in the hands of the Lord to reveal to us so much of what we have today. In fact, without the mercy of this great acharya, we would have nothing. Today is his appearance day, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Recently we went on a tour of South India and we went to Sri Rangam. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his travels to South India, he stopped at Sri Rangam. This is the main place of worship for the Ramanuja or Sri Sampradaya. It was the headquarters of Jamunacharya, Ramanujacharya, and all of the great gurus in the line since then. It is the largest temple in all of India. Beautiful, magnificent, and wonderful worship has been going on since time immemorial to the beautiful form of Sri Ranganath. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that place, and as he was dancing and chanting before the beautiful form of Lord Ranganath, one great Brahmin named Venkata Bhat saw him and pleaded with the Lord to come to his home. He explained that it is now the beginning of the rainy season, and it is the tradition that sannyasis do not travel during the Chaturmasya, but they stay in one place. Please remain with us. So he brought him to his home, and he washed the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And then he drank the water and distributed to all of his family members. He had a son. It is said at the time he was approximately 7 years old, and his name was Gopal Bhatta. And that child, upon his first meeting with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he witnessed his father washing his lotus feet. And Gopal Bhatta was given that water to drink. And immediately upon drinking that water, he began to weep in ecstatic love. And he fell to the ground. And just from the foot wash of the Lord's lotus feet, he became so transcendentally infatuated with love for Krishna that he just couldn't give up the association of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Day and night, he remained with the Lord. And his father, Venkata Bhatta, was so very happy to see that his son had become attached to this great sannyasi. It was the joy of his heart. This should be the greatest pleasure of all spiritually cultured parents, when they see their child becoming attached to the great devotees of the Lord. It should give them more happiness than however nice grades they get or however nice marriage arrangements are made, because these things are all temporary and material. They have their value in life, no doubt. But the perfection of life comes about when we become attached to great personalities. So Venkata Bhatta was very happy, and he simply encouraged his son to serve the Lord. And Gopal Bhatta served the Lord in the most wonderful and menial ways, day and night. But one day, he began to feel very despondent. He was thinking that this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, Brajanja Nandana. He is the Lord of Srimati Radharani. Why? Why has he taken the vow of sannyas? Why is he living the life of an ascetic, performing so many severe austerities? Why is it that I am so sinful and so unfortunate that I could not see the Lord when he was in his Navadvip Leela, when he was married to the goddess of fortune, when he had beautiful, beautiful, long, blackish hair, wonderful golden dhoti, and he was enjoying so much with all of his associates, chanting and dancing. Why the Lord had to become a sannyasi? Such a harsh and lonely life. So he was thinking like this, and day after day after day, in this mood, he would weep bitterly. Such mercy that the Lord bestowed upon him, that these feelings of such intimate love awakened in his heart. But one day, while he was weeping, he fell asleep. And in his sleep, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him as Sri Navadvipa Chandra, the moon of Navadvip. Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw the whole Navadvip before his eyes. And there was Lord Chaitanya in his beautiful form, walking down the street amongst his associates. And Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu were there. And Gopal Bhatta was walking right alongside the Lord. And then Nityananda and Advaita embraced him and was about to tell him something very confidential. And just then, he woke up. And when he woke up, he was feeling so much transcendental anticipation that he immediately ran to the place where Lord Sri Gauranga was sitting. And he fell at his lotus feet. And when he looked up, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had transformed his beautiful body into the eternal rupa of Shamsundar Sri Krishna. Gopal Bhatta saw the Lord manifest his threefold bending form, beautiful, blackish, like a monsoon rain cloud, playing upon his flute, with his beautiful lotus eyes gazing upon his devotee. The little child Gopal Bhatta was stricken with ecstatic love. And before his eyes, that beautiful form of Sri Krishna manifested again in the form of Navadvip Chandra. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he appeared in Navadvip, in his household life, the enjoyer of the goddess of fortune, beautiful, beautiful, black, curling haired, cascading his broad shoulders, beautiful golden complexion, bedecked with precious jewelry and garlands, a beautiful golden dhoti. And the Lord was glancing upon him with such transcendental compassion. And Gopal Bhatta then fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gaurachandra. And when he lifted his head, the Lord had again resumed his form of a sannyasi, as he had come to Sri Rangam. And the Lord lifted Gopal Bhatta, the small boy, on his lap, and Lord Chaitanya began to soak him with his tears of love. And Gopal Bhatta, in reciprocation, began to soak the Lord with his tears of love. Then Lord Chaitanya gave him an instruction. He told him, you should go to Vrindavan. And there you should become the intimate brother and associate of my two eternal associates, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. He told him, Rupa and Sanatan will write the most precious Vaishnav literatures along with their associates. And you, Gopal Bhatta, you will have disciples who are coming from all over the world to surrender to you. And through your disciples, you will distribute these books throughout the whole world. But at this time, your parents, they are great Vaishnavas. They are pure devotees of the Lord. You must stay with them, and you must humbly and faithfully serve them. And after they leave this world, then you may go to Vrindavan, and all of your desires will be fulfilled. So in this way, the 4 months passed. Venkata Bhatta had two brothers, Trimala Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati. And the three brothers, as well as Gopal Bhatt, their life and soul was only Gaurachandra. They were great devotees of Lakshmi and Narayan. And they would have many, many philosophical discussions with the Lord. And Gopal Bhatta would hear them. One day, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu spoke to Venkata Bhatt. He said, Venkata, you are worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. But please tell me, why is it that Lakshmi left the service of Narayan in order to seek the association of Krishna of Vrindavan? And Venkata Bhatta replied that there is no offense in Lakshmi's part. She is the most perfect and chaste woman because Krishna and Narayan are identical. They are the same person. just different manifestations of the same person. He said the only difference between Krishna and Balaram and Narayan is that Krishna reveals the sweetness of Madhurya Ras, whereas Narayan is worshipped with great reverence. But they are the same person. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, but please tell me this, Venkata Bhat. If they are so much the same person, then why is it that Lakshmi, even though performing great austerities to enter into the Ras Mandala of Braja, was not allowed to enter? She is the supreme goddess of fortune. Why she couldn't enter Vrindavan and enjoy that relationship with Krishna? And Venkata Bhat replied that I am just an ordinary human being. I cannot answer these questions. You are that supreme Lord Sri Krishna. That I can detect. So you kindly answer this question. And Lord Chaitanya explained a confidential truth, which is the aspiration and the hope of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He explained the difference between Madhurya Ras and Aishwarya Ras. That Lakshmi Devi, her eternal nature is to be the queen, the consort, the wife of the Lord, and to worship him with great reverence and great opulence. Lakshmi has such tremendous power. She's the goddess of fortune. And she understands with complete realization that her husband is the absolute truth, the Lord of all lords, the object of devotion of all the great saints and the sages and the rishis, the object of all the knowledge of the Vedas. With all of this awareness, she serves the Lord with unalloyed devotion eternally. But in Vrindavan, the residents, they have all of these qualities of understanding the Aishwarya of the Lord. But Krishna reveals himself to such devotees in such a sweet, personal, loving way that sweetness, or madhurya, completely covers all conceptions of Aishwarya, or opulence. In this way, the residents of Vrindavan, they cannot fathom the idea that Krishna is God. That understanding is included, but far surpassed by their devotion. They simply love him so dearly, as a friend, or as a parent, or as a lover. And their relationship is so personal that they simply think that Krishna is our life and soul. They don't worship Krishna with the condition that he is God. They simply worship him because he's Krishna. He's all attractive. He's our best friend. He's our best lover. He's our most adorable child. Just like Yashoda Mai, when she saw the universe in Krishna's mouth, she became struck with Aishwarya Bhav. But as soon as he closed his mouth and she saw his charming smile, her parental affection completely drowned away, washed away all of these feelings of Aishwarya Bhav. And she was just captivated by the sweetness of Krishna as her son, as her beloved child, helplessly depending on him in every way. And the gopis, their love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is most unparalleled in its quality. Even the dearest friend of Dwarka, Uddhav. Uddhav was even very much not envied, but he was very much recognized as dearmost even by Krishna's queens, because he had constant association with the Lord. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains Uddhava's unparalleled position in Dwarka as an intimate associate. But when he went to Vrindavan, Uddhava knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Dwarkadish. But when he went to Vrindavan and saw the simplicity of the love of the gopis, who just couldn't care less whether he was God or not, how they wept and cried in love for him, Uddhava was thinking that the perfection of my existence is to get the dust from their feet. But he did not want to embarrass them, because Uddhava was a great Kshatriya prince, and the gopis were just simple village girls. If a great prince comes to your village to take the dust from your feet, from a young, the girls would feel very much ashamed and very bad. So Uddhava performed great tapasya near Govardhan at Uddhava Kund. And there he performed the tapasya with one goal in his life in mind. He was willing to give up his position as the best friend of Krishna in Dwarka so that he could become a single blade of grass in Braja, with the hope that the gopis would step upon his head with their lotus feet, and thus he would achieve the dust from their lotus feet. So these are just brief glimpses of the supreme excellence of Vrindavan. In fact, in Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela in Jagannath Puri, once there was a debate between Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami and Srivas Pandit in this regard. Swarup Damodar was saying, "What is this Lord of Vaikuntha?" He was being challenged. Srivas was challenging, why you are worshipping this Lord of Vrindavan? My Lord of Vaikuntha, he is worshipped with so many jewels, everything is Chintamani, beautiful palaces, all elegance, opulences. And what is in Vrindavan? Just some trees and some grass and some cows. But Swarup Damodar was explaining, what is the nature of these trees and these grass and these cows? Every aspect of Vrindavan, every molecule, every atomic particle is utterly endowed and saturated with Madhurya Ras to fulfill all the most intimate desires of the Lord and his devotees. So we should understand that yes, God is one, but at the same time, Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. He is the special form, rupa of the Supreme Absolute Truth, from whom all others emanate. And in his Brajendra Nandana Leela of Vrindavan, only does he reveal the sweetness of the great treasure of Madhurya Ras. There is a place in Braja named Srivan. And there it is explained that Lakshmi Devi, she was performing tapasya for a long time. But she was not allowed to cross the Jamuna to enter into the Rasmandala, because there was a condition put upon her that if you want to come, you have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. You have to give up your form of Lakshmi. You have to give up your conception of being the wife of the Lord. You have to give up the conception of worshiping him as the absolute truth, as the supreme personality of Godhead. You have to become the servant of the servant of the gopis. And Lakshmi simply was unable to do that. So therefore, she was given a vision of the Ras Lila, but she was not allowed to enter. So Lord Chaitanya was explaining all these things to Venkata Bhatta and Trimala Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati. And the Lord concluded, only when you follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan can you approach Krishna as he is. So Venkata Bhatta said, you are Krishna, and whatever you say I will do. And he surrendered to the principle of Krishna Bhakti. When we talk about following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, there are various stages of this. We should know that the great acharyas in our disciplic line, they are all residents of Vrindavan. In fact, many of the original acharyas following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was even revealed to the world what their specific relationships were and services were in Goloka Vrindavan. So simply by following their teachings, simply by serving their instructions, we are following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Simply by chanting the holy names under their direction, simply by reading their purports, Srila Prabhupada's purports, which are the culmination of all the realizations of all the previous great acharyas. Simply by serving their devotees, we are following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And gradually, as we attain higher and higher levels of purification, it is revealed to us higher stages of such a on the path of the bhakti of Vrindavan, where it is actually revealed it awakens in our heart what is our eternal line of service in the spiritual world, and how to serve and meditate accordingly. But our spiritual master is teaching us the systematic and proper way of gradually approaching such high levels of purification. So Venkata Bhatta and all of his brothers, they all became devotees of Radha and Krishna, and joyfully in the association of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we're constantly engaged in the kirtan of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And when the 4 months was about to expire, Prabodhananda, Trimala Bhat, Venkata Bhat, Gopal Bhat, they were simply weeping and crying that the Lord is going to leave us. The days, the moments, the seconds are coming closer to his departure. What will we do? Who will we go to the river Kaveri to bathe with? Who will we joke with? Who will we go to the temple and have congregational chanting with? And as the Lord was about to leave, they all fell at his lotus feet and surrendered their lives to him. And then he continued on his South Indian tour. Meanwhile, Gopal Bhatta, remaining at home, very faithfully obediently served his mother and father, Venkata Bhat. And Prabodhananda, who was a great scholar, became his guru. He studied the scriptures, Vedanta, Bhakti Shastras from him. And soon he became such a famous scholar, Gopal Bhatta, that throughout the entire land of India he was famous. And in every one of his discourses, he would simply glorify the glory and the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he explained how devotion to him was the conclusion of all scriptural knowledge, because he was none different than Radha and Krishna. The years passed, and Gopal Bhatta's parents, they gave him blessings. They said, now, according to the order of Sri Gaurachandra, our life and soul, you go to Vrindavan. You take shelter in the association of Rupa and Sanatana. And after giving that instruction, they both together gave up their life affairs, never to return to this material world again. But they achieved the supreme abode of Lord Gaurasundara. And Gopal Bhatta, he went to Vrindavan. And when he arrived in Vrindavan, all the Vaishnavas were so happy and anxious to greet him. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Kashishwara. They were all there, and they were so happy. He immediately upon arriving accepted the garb of an ascetic in the renounced order of life. And he made Rupa and Sanatana his very life and soul. See how these great Vaishnavas, however exalted and learned, they are always aspiring to humble themselves and take shelter of another Vaishnava. Great devotees of the Lord never want to be autonomous in their own position. They always want to be subordinate to great devotees of the Lord. In Rupa Goswami, who is the leader of our whole sampradaya in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he humbles himself and he says, I am simply surrendered at the lotus feet of Sanatana Goswami, who is my guru. So this is the nature of Vaishnavism. We should not be bewildered when we see great souls humbling themselves and trying to take a subordinate position to other Vaishnavas. Amongst the Mayavadis, everyone is competing for the highest position of being God. They don't want to be second to anyone. But the Vaishnava wants to be second to everyone. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Jagannath Puri, it is explained, he was always wondering, did Gopal Bhatta arrive in Vrindavan? Of course, the Lord knows everything, past, present, and future. He's within everyone's heart. But for the sake of his lila, to create a wonderful experience of loving exchange, sometimes he actually becomes like this, where he's wondering, where is my devotees? It's not that he's just faking or pretending. He becomes like that by his own sweet will, just to increase the loving excitement and anticipation of his devotee's love. So one day, it is explained, he went to the home of Gadadhar Pandit. This is in Jagannath Puri. Gadadhar Pandit was so loved by all the devotees. The Bhakti Ratnakara explains how Gadadhar Pandit, he had such loving relationship with Lord Chaitanya, and such a deep loving relationship with Lord Nityananda, with Advaita Charya, with Haridas Thakur, everyone. How the devotees loved each other. how the devotees worshipped each other, how the devotees served each other. This is the greatest opulence of the spiritual world. And this is what gives the greatest pleasure to the Lord when he sees such loving exchanges amongst his devotees. So Lord Chaitanya went to Gadadhara's long time. And just when he said that, someone came with a letter from Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And he opened that letter, and the letter explained that Gopal Bhatta has just arrived from South India. What a jewel, what a wonderful devotee he is. We have accepted him as our own brother. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He began to extol the glories of Gopal Bhatta to all the devotees. And then he wanted to send gift. So he sent a letter to Rupa and Sanatana, and he sent gifts to all the Vaishnavas. And to Gopal Bhatta, he sent his own personal loincloth, prasad, and a little wooden seat that Lord Chaitanya would personally sit on while he was doing his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Gopal Bhatta received these two gifts from the Lord, he worshipped these gifts as non-different from the Lord himself and treasured them throughout his entire life. In fact, the temple where that Gopal Bhatta Goswami established, just close to the deity, that loincloth and that wooden seat are still present. And the pujaris of Sri Radharaman temple, when they perform their offerings to Sri Radharaman, after they offer to Radharaman, they bring the food to that seat, to that little seat, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they offer also to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. When Gopal Bhatta was in Vrindavan, he was explaining to all the devotees about the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Sri Rangam and in South India. And the devotees were just enraptured in ecstatic love, because the devotees of Vrindavan had no knowledge of Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour except what they had heard from Gopal Bhatta. And it is explained that at that time Rupa Goswami was worshipping Radha Govinda, and Sanatana Goswami was worshipping Madan Mohan. And one very wealthy devotee came to Vrindavan, and he gave jewels and crowns and flutes to all the Goswamis to worship their deities with. Now at the time, Gopal Bhatta Goswami had 12 shalagram shilas, and he used to put them in a piece of cloth and wear them around his neck and keep them with him always. And he worshipped them with great love. But he was now having all these nice deity paraphernalia. But shalagram is not in a form where you can offer all of these nice offerings. So he was praying to the Lord that if you so desire, please allow me to serve you in your beautiful threefold bending form. And it was actually on Nrisingha Chaturdasi that Gopal Bhatta Goswami was in this mood, and he prayed to his shalagram shilas that on this very day Lord Narasimhadev appeared in a beautiful form out of stone. So you can also do the same thing. So the next morning he came to do his seva for Shalagram, and he saw that one of his shila the Damodar Shila had manifested into a beautiful, beautiful form of Sri Krishna. Only about 12 inches high, but so enchanting. Standing curved in three places, Tribhanga, playing upon his flute with beautiful lotus-like eyes. And when Gopal Bhatta Goswami saw this wonderful mercy, how Damodar Shila had manifested this beautiful form of Sri Krishna, he bowed down and began to offer wonderful, wonderful prayers. At that time, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami, and the other great Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they heard this news and they came to that place where Gopal Bhatta Goswami was offering his prayers. And when they saw the beautiful, beautiful form of Radharaman, they were struck with wonder. In fact, it is said that there are three prominent deities of Vrindavan: Sri Govinda, Gopinatha, Madana Mohan. And it is explained by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas that Krishna's feet, his lotus feet, are fully manifested in the most extraordinary way in Madan Mohan, who is the Sambandha Gyan Murti. We establish our relationship with Krishna by first approaching his feet. And then the Abhideya Murti, that is Govindaji. After establishing our relationship with the Lord, then we act according to that relationship, which is by rendering humble, loving service. And it is explained that the hands playing the flute and the chest of the Lord is perfectly manifested in its most super excellent way in the deity of Govinda. And through serving the Lord, Abhideya Gyan, gradually we become utterly purified and attain the state of Prayojana Bhakti. That means the ultimate goal of unalloyed love of God in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And Gopinath Murti, it is said that Prayojana is the face of the Lord. Every devotee, when he comes before the deity, it is not proper to look directly at the face of the Lord. We first look below his feet, and we first surrender ourselves and take shelter of his lotus feet. And then gradually we go up the various limbs, and then we see the beautiful smiling face of the Lord. Prayojana is the face of the Lord, pure devotion. And Gopinath, it is explained that that Murti of Madhu Pandit, his face most perfectly, in the most super excellent way, is manifesting. But when the Goswamis saw Radharaman, they all acclaimed that Radharaman has the feet of Madan Mohan, has the flute playing midsection of Govinda, and has the face of Gopinath. All the three Murtis have appeared in one beautiful divine form. Shri Radharaman ki jai. And of the six Goswamis' original Murtis, this Radharaman deity is the only one that never left Vrindavan. Govindaji, others, they had to be brought when Aurangzeb and his armies came to defy the Hindus and destroy the temples and the Murtis. They were all brought to Rajasthan in various places. But because Radharaman appeared in a very small size, he was easily concealed and nobody ever found him. He just never wanted to leave Vrindavan. Gopal Bhatta Goswami named him on that day Radharaman, one who gives the greatest pleasure to Srimati Radharani. And Rupa and Sanatan, and all the devotees had a wonderful, wonderful festival to celebrate the appearance of Sri Radharaman. And in Vrindavan today, the day after Narasingha Chaturdasi, is a massive grand festival at the Radharaman temple to celebrate his most auspicious and extraordinary appearance in the world. But one day, as Gopal Bhatta was worshiping him, he began to feel very sad. In fact, he felt quite guilty. In the transcendental realm of bhakti, feelings like guilt and sadness are forms of ecstasy. Some people who follow various yogic principles, they think that when you become perfectly self-realized, you have no such feelings. You're just equipoised under every circumstance. But devotees, when they see others suffering, they cry. But that crying out of compassion is a form of ecstasy. They have all emotions in the most intensified form. As you become purified in bhakti, all of these emotions become, it's not that they go away, they become intensified beyond toleration. But they are always situated in pure devotion to the Lord, and therefore they are ecstatic. So Gopal Bhatta was thinking that before my father, Venkata Bhatta, left his body, he told me that I should spend my life worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'm spending all my days worshipping this beautiful form of Krishna as Radharaman, but I feel that I'm neglecting my father's order because I'm not worshipping Lord Chaitanya directly. So as he was thinking like this, Sri Radharaman very smilingly was watching him, listening to his thoughts, and right before his eyes, Sri Radharaman revealed himself as Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. His beautiful, beautiful golden form, Gaura Sundar, dancing and chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And then, right before his eyes, Lord Gaura Sundar again transformed back into Sri Radharaman. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was very happy. He understood that he was worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. That Radha and Krishna have appeared in the one divine form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And when Gopal Bhatta had this wonderful, wonderful vision, he went and he started telling all of the Brijbasis and all of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas about this wonderful mercy of the Lord, and they began to rejoice. Because this is the nature of real Vaishnavas. The more they see another devotee getting the mercy of the Lord, the more happy they become. They never think, why not me? Why I am not getting this special mercy? Because they're always very much praying for the welfare and for the advancement of all other Vaishnavas. This is the mood that is cultivated in real Vaishnava society. Gopal Bhatta Goswami lived in the association of the Vrindavan Gaudiya Vaishnavas for many long years. He assisted in the writings of Adi Bhakti Vilas, Krishna Karnamrita, commentary, and so many others. He wrote introductions to the Sandarbhas by Jiva Goswami. In this way, he was always assisting the devotees. And through his disciples, one of his disciples, Raj Man Singh, who was a general under Akbar. He ordered him to build the beautiful temple of Govindaji, Rupa Goswami's deity. And he was just always immersed in assisting the other devotees in their wonderful services, assisting them in writing their books, assisting them in their deity worship, assisting them by building temples for them. And many years later, by the will of Lord Gaurasundar, one of his eternal associates appeared in this world and came to Vrindavan. His name was Srinivasa Acharya. Srinivasa Acharya, it's a wonderful story. Haribo. In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. But in the material world, time is conspicuous by its presence. Everyone is hungry for prasad? Nathji Prabhu, you are hungry for prasad? It's not ready. Harivo. Nathji is expert at fulfilling my desires without making me feel guilty. Anyway, Srinivasa Acharya, his father was a very great devotee named Chaitanya Das. His father happened to be present when Lord Chaitanya was getting his hair cut before taking sannyas. And when he heard the name being initiated, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he just was constantly immersed in the thought of the Lord taking sannyas. Such a terrible thing, leaving his mother and his wife and everything. Such loving associates to chase after the most fallen, degraded souls of this world. Such mercy this world has never seen. So he was constantly immersed in chanting, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. So he became known as Chaitanya Das. He wanted a child. And he went to Jagannath Puri. He and his wife never wanted a child. They were married for so many years, but they just never had a desire for children. But all of a sudden, one day, in their hearts, they both longed to have a child. And they couldn't understand. So let us go to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri and find out what is his desire. So they met him at Jagannath Temple, and Lord Chaitanya told him, you must have child. My devotee wants to come through you. So their child was Srinivasa Acharya. And Srinivas was constantly hearing from his father and from all others around him the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from his very infancy, he was just longing for the beautiful darshan and service of Lord Gaurasundar. So when he finally became a little older, he left his home, Jajigram, and began to walk to Jagannath Puri. And just when he was approaching the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, some people were coming the opposite direction, weeping and crying. Srinivas, what has happened? You have not heard? Lord Gaurasundar has left the world. He disappeared at the Tota Gopinath temple. So Srinivas was thinking, how unfortunate am I? My whole life I've simply been preparing myself to meet the Lord, and he's left. He's gone back to the spiritual world. So he fainted unconscious. And then he got up and he was weeping and he was crying and he decided there is no reason to live. I will commit suicide. I will drown myself in the river Ganges. And then again he fell unconscious. But then the Lord appeared to him and said, you must go to Puri and you take shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. But the Lord got to see, Srinivas got to see Lord Chaitanya in that vision. So he went to Gadadhar Pandit. The Lord told him to study Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So Gadadhar was so much happy to see Srinivas. Yes, I will teach you Bhagavatam. But when I read Bhagavatam, especially since Mahaprabhu's disappearance, I weep so much that all the ink of the page is soaked with my tears and no one can read it. So you have to go to back to Navadvip, Srikanda, and bring me another Bhagavatam. So he walked all the way back to Bengal. It took many, many, many months for a new Bhagavatam to be written. Now, how fortunate we are. If we want a Srimad Bhagavatam, we just go to Radha Gopinath, give a few rupees, and we get Srimad Bhagavatam. If any of you don't have it, you should get Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Shyamananda Prabhu, he sells entire sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. And do not think it is costly. If it costs you your whole life, it's worth it. But Srimad Bhagavatam now, all 12 volumes with the purports by Srila Prabhupada are so easily available. You just go, you offer your obeisances to Radha Gopinath, you give some rupees, you get Srimad Bhagavatam. It's only 5 minutes away. But Srinivas Acharya, he was so anxious to get that Srimad Bhagavatam, he walked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. And then he had to find someone to letter by letter copy the whole thing. It takes over a year to copy all 18,000 slokas nicely of the Bhagavatam. So finally, he had his Srimad Bhagavatam. And he went back to Jagannath Puri. And when he arrived, he found out Gadadhar Pandit couldn't bear the separation from Mahaprabhu, and he went to join him in the spiritual world. So he fell unconscious. But first he vowed to drown himself in the Ganges. But then Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him, and he said, Srinivas, myself and Lord Chaitanya, it is our desire that you go to Vrindavan. And there you should study Bhagavatam under Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So he had to do many other things on the way by the will of the Lord. And ultimately he came to Vrindavan, he came to Mathura. He was at Vishramghat taking his bath. And he saw people weeping and crying. He said, what's happened? He said, you have not heard? Rupa and Sanatan have left the world. And again, he fell unconscious. And Rupa Sanatan appeared to him. And Lord Chaitanya also appeared to him. And told him that you should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And you should study Bhagavat from Jiva Goswami. So he went to Vrindavan, he went to the Govindaji temple, and there he met Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami brought him to the Radharaman temple, and there he found his guru, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he surrendered to his lotus feet. And the first thing Gopal Bhatta Goswami did is he brought him before the beautiful deity of Sri Radharaman and offered his disciple's life to the deity. This is the principle of the humility of Vaishnavas. Even the greatest acharyas, they never think that this is my disciple, because nothing is ours. The Vaishnavas, whatever they do, is on behalf of Krishna. And the great acharyas like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, his only ambition was simply to offer the body, mind, words, and life of his followers at the lotus feet of Sri Radharaman. The guru is the transparent via medium. Our devotion never stops at guru. He is simply taking our worship and giving it all to the lotus feet of Shyam Sundar and Sri Radharani through disciplic succession. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami brought Srinivasacharya and said, Radharaman, he's yours. Unconditionally, he's yours. And I will take care of him. I will train him. So they set an auspicious date, and the initiation took place. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami told Srinivasacharya that under my order, you should study all of the literatures of Rupa and Sanatan from Jiva Goswami. Such was the love amongst Vaishnavas. No competitive spirit of this is mine and that is yours. But everything was Krishna's. Everything was Mahaprabhu's. And we are all simply working together for the satisfaction of Mahaprabhu. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami entrusted his disciple, his foremost disciple, to Jiva Goswami. And Srinivasacharya, along with Shyamananda Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur Mahashoy, they all studied together, and they all became best of friends, the most intimate friends and associates. In fact, there was no question, my guru, your guru. Because their gurus loved each other, the disciples loved each other. It is natural. They were all serving the mission of Lord Gauranga. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami ordered Srinivasacharya, along with Jiva Goswami, that they should leave Vrindavan and distribute the literatures of the Vaishnavas all over Bengal. And from there they would spread throughout the world. So it was this disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami that first reprinted and distributed the Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures, especially Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj. So, interesting. The best friend of Narottam Das Thakur was Ramchandra Kaviraj, whose appearance day it is also today. Huh? Prasad is ready yet? Ramchandra Kaviraj, I believe he was a disciple of Srinivasacharya. So try to understand how beautiful these relationships were. Srinivasacharya was disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur was disciple of Lokanath Goswami. They were classmates and best friends in the school of Jiva Goswami. And the best friend of Narottam was a disciple of his best friend, classmate, Srinivasacharya, who was a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And in many of the songs of Narottam, he sings about his loving friendship with Ramchandra. Tattva knows how to sing these songs very nice. So these Vaishnava exchanges, when they are actually based on the real principle of keeping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the center, they transcend all sectarian boundaries. Because our hearts become one in spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya, which is to propagate the congregational chanting of the holy names of Radha and Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Uta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, although he was such a deeply learned scholar, and he literally did have so many of the most qualified disciples. One of his disciples was Gopinath Pujari. And this Gopinath Pujari, he was such a wonderful devotee. He surrendered his life and soul to Gopal Bhatta. And he was in the renounced order. He had no desire for marriage or offspring. He simply wanted to serve Radharaman and serve his Guru Maharaj unconditionally. Gopal Bhatta Goswami had a plan that in order to preserve the sanctity and dignity of the deity worship, he wanted a line of the descendants of his disciples to preserve that worship over the centuries. So Gopinath Pujari had no intention to marry, nor did he have any intention to tell him to have an intention to marry. So the younger brother of Gopinath Pujari, whose name was Damodara Das, was also initiated by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And to this very day, the descendants of Damodara Das do all the puja for Radharaman. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was such a simple, humble devotee, but he was such a mastermind that he organized the rules and regulations of how the deity would be worshipped and how everything would happen. To this day, over 450 years after he's departed from this world, Radharaman has never missed an offering. And of all the precious, precious jewels and gold and everything that's been offered to that deity by great kings over the centuries, not a single thing has ever been lost. The pujaris, in order to get in to the storage where the jewelry and the crowns are, three keys from three different families, because Damodar had his children, and then I think Damodar had two children, and half the worship went to his children, half went to the other, and then the other had five children, the other had three children, and this way it's all divided up. Now there's hundreds and hundreds of children who are worshiping the deities. But three different families each have keys. And they to get in, and there's a person who's appointed. Anyone who goes in has to write down exactly what jewel they're going to take. That person checks that it's on the deity, and it has to be brought back. Very good system. And Srila Prabhupada told us that in all of Vrindavan, the Radharaman temple has the best, the most devotional worship of the deity. I'll tell one other little story. One time, one of Prabhupada's disciples from the West, he heard that Prabhupada said that they have the best worship. So he went to Radharaman temple, and he was just, with very devotional glance, beholding the beautiful form of Sri Radharaman. And one of the devotees of the temple came up to him and gave him a benediction. He said that you are so fortunate. You have come from such a distant foreign land to worship the beautiful form of Radharaman, and you have so much devotion for him. He said, because you have so much devotion for Radharaman, in your next life you will be born in this family, and you will be able to personally worship Radharaman. And that devotee was
very, very happy. He ran back and told Prabhupada that I got such a nice blessing. And Prabhupada told the devotee that you go to that Radharaman temple and you tell that person that if you worship Radharaman throughout your whole life with great devotion, then you will get the blessing of being born in America so that you can spread the glories of the holy name all over the world. So as we're explaining this morning in class, there's different variegated rasas in amongst great Vaishnavas. But although Gopal Bhatta was such a great personality in every possible way, he was so humble. He never wanted any credit. He always just wanted to be seen as someone behind those persons who were behind the great devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was ordered by the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he understood that he had the order, but unless he got the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas, he had no qualification to even attempt to write such a literature of the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most important and greatest literature of all time, and he was being asked to write it. So he went to each and every devotee and asked for their blessings. And each of them gave their blessings. And then he approached Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he had, amongst all the Goswamis, he had so much influence, so much disciples, so much people who had great abilities, powers, shakti, devotion. Gopal Bhatta Goswami said that I certainly give you all my blessings to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, but under the condition that you do not mention my name in any of your writings. In fact, anyone who asked Gopal Bhatta for such blessings, he gave him the same. He gave them all blessings and prayers, but he did not want his name to be written. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he very, very carefully avoided describing the unlimited glories of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He expanded wonderfully on the glories of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Some things about Jiva Goswami, but Jiva Goswami, at the time of the writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he had just come to Vrindavan. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he only very, very, very discreetly mentions his name, creeps it in a few places. But there's nothing to be known about Gopal Bhatta Goswami by his own desire. But the great devotee Narahari, in his Bhakti Ratnakar, he very wonderfully was a descendant of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's disciplic line, and he beautifully wrote the glories of Gopal Bhatta Goswami for all the world to hear and to chant and to remember and be inspired by forever. Hare Krishna. Let us celebrate this auspicious day. It's also Stoka Krishna Prabhu? No, tomorrow. Tomorrow we're celebrating Stoka Krishna Prabhu's birthday. The celebration will take place in Dadar. We're inviting about 2,000 people for this occasion. But today,
We are celebrating a very, very blessed and auspicious event. The return of Brinda Priya Mataji and Ranchor to Bombay. We have all come here tonight to welcome them back into the Association of Radha Gopinath's devotees. Brinda Priya is here? Masha. Haribo. Ranchor Prabhu? Haribo. They're like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they hide in backgrounds. Anyways, they're doing wonderful service. When I was recently in Pittsburgh, wherever they go, they're always preaching. Ranchor Prabhu has all these people chanting Hare Krishna mantra, studying Prabhupada's books. He gives them regular classes. It's not easy in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is known as the Steel City of America because they're famous for steel and iron, which is very symptomatic of Kali Yuga, steel and iron. But he's been preaching there very nicely, beautifully, and he's always arranging wonderful programs with professors, and businessmen, and engineers, and employees in his company, and Nathji Prabhu, when he was there, he arranged a wonderful program for him to preach. Whenever I'm there, he arranges wonderful programs, rents nice halls and places, kirtan, prasad. He invites devotees from New Vrindavan to come and preach, and he has regular weekly gatherings. And Brinda Priya, she's all the housewives in their apartment. She's always trying to give them prasad, and she has many of them chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Krishna consciousness, reading Prabhupada's books. So between the two of them, they're setting a very, very amazing example how two devotees could go anywhere and make other people Krishna conscious. It's actually amazing. I bow at their lotus feet for this great service. But in their hearts, they want to return to Bombay, where they certainly will bring so many people to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga. So everyone welcome Brinda Priya and Ranchor back by saying Hari Bol. We'd like to thank Nathji Prabhu and Maithili Mataji for arranging this wonderful rooftop program. And we pray that again and again we can come and dance on your rooftop. So now let us celebrate the way all Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates celebrate every occasion by chanting, dancing, and feasting. Nitai go premanani. Besides Ranchor Prabhu preaching so wonderfully, along with Brinda Priya, bringing dozens and dozens of people to Krishna consciousness, he was also the employee of the year of his international company, which shows that having nice sadhana, worshipping the deities, and preaching Krishna consciousness does not make you less effective in your responsibilities in this world, but it makes you better.